Business Running Computer Show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. This is Soundbites for Saturday, the 7th of June, Anno Domini 2003. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Okay, and Steve actually waits the amount of time it would have taken Dave to say, I'm Dave Enright, if Dave had been here. Now, we're in the studio together. He sees Dave is not here, but he waits.
But it's just the rhythm of it.
The rhythm.
The three of us together, yeah.
Speaking of which, we are delighted in the return of Rob Linton. Rob has been gone. You all know Rob's been gone for a while. He graduated from college and then went on an extended little trip to a local hospital. He had a little accident. I don't want to say anything until he came back and we knew he was well.
Yes, lucky. I'm very lucky to be okay. A little vacation, forced vacation, but I'm back.
That's right.
Were the nurses cute, at least?
Yes. Of course, with the amount of drugs I was on, didn't see much of anything. The only thing I remember, it was kind of funny. At one point, a nurse came in, and I was just like, the drugs that they had me on, I thought that there was water on the floor. I'm like, there's water on the floor. It looked like there was a pond of water on the floor. It was great stuff. I'll take more of that. That's what I said.
Ooh, legal drugs. Rob is back, and we're delighted to have him back. Because he is a professional, he's the only person in the room who actually has a degree in radio.
Well, you know, I wouldn't go that far. But
not in driving necessarily, but certainly in radio.
And
it starts. We're going to accidents happen, and we'll try not to. I'll try to curb my natural tendency. Curb, get it? Anyway, we'll go to the news now, and we'll start with Steve.
I don't know if I can follow that.
I don't know if you want to follow that.
I don't know that, yeah. We had a couple of interesting things happen in the Apple world this week. One was that the 15-inch PowerBooks have dropped in price up to $300 on some models. So now the 12-inch PowerBook is available at $15.99. The 15-inch starts at $19.99. So it's lower prices on PowerBooks. When Apple and Steve Jobs announced the new PowerBooks in January, he said that 2003 was going to be the year of the laptop. And so far it seems to have worked. Apple's reporting that the laptops make up 42% of the system sold last quarter. So almost half of new Mac purchasers are buying laptops. I guess the industry average is like 10%.
Right.
So they're way above industry average. The one thing that it does sort of lead to, this is all rumors, speculation, and ramblings.
That's our favorite
our
stuff,
favorite
really.
Thing, yeah. Typically, a price drop means there's new products coming. And the 15-inch PowerBook was last revised in November, so it's been 8 months on the market. So a lot of rumors are pointing to the fact that a new model might be coming. Now, one problem that Apple tries to avoid, and all the other computer companies as well, is they don't want to pre-announce products because then people stop buying the old ones. So they can lower the price on the existing ones to clean out the inventory so the new ones are available. And for a lot of people, buying last year's model just as the price drops and the new model comes out is more than enough. We've talked about it before that, you know, the computers are getting faster and faster, but most people don't need to upgrade as often because they're fast enough, the ones they have. You know, last year's 1,000 megahertz is fine. Right. I don't need this year's 2,000 megahertz. So it's going to be interesting to see. The Macworld Expo is coming up next month in New York, and a lot of people are expecting big things there. The other thing that was coming out is that Apple is negotiating with a lot of the independent record labels for the iTunes music service. The big five major record labels are all represented by the songs available now, but a lot of the independent labels aren't. And what the industry analysts are saying is that most people don't know and don't care what label their favorite artist is on. They just want the song.
Right.
So the fact that a lot of the independent and smaller labels weren't available has been an issue. So now What Jobs has been saying is that they spent the time working out the deals with the big companies, so now they can get to all of the smaller labels. And a lot of the independent producers that were interviewed were saying, you know, great, cool, you know, we can't wait to get involved.
Cool. Sounds very nifty. Yep. Sounds very nifty. On the, I don't know whether this is a Microsoft story or a Linux story. As you may have heard, Microsoft has targeted Linux as public enemy number one in the Microsoft world. Steve Ballmer, who is Microsoft's chief executive, issued a memo that said Linux is a significant challenge to his company. Corporate customers are concerned about their budgets and may see non-commercial software such as Linux and OpenOffice as interesting and good enough. This memo was an email. Linux is, of course, free on the Internet. You can also buy it with installation and maintenance services from companies like Red Hat and places like that. OpenOffice is also free, and it's a full word processing suite. Like, it's got a word processor, a full suite with a word processor, a spreadsheet, a presentation package like PowerPoint would be. It's all in there.
And in some cases, better than Microsoft's offering.
I personally like it a lot. What's interesting is that there are a couple of public companies that sell the support and service for Linux. Red Hat is the world's biggest distributor of Linux, and VA Software is also they make software that helps clients use the web to build programs and do a lot of Linux stuff. What's interesting is that when Ballmer's memo came out, shares of Red Hat and VA Software rose significantly. 9.9% in the case of Red Hat and 44% in the case of VA Software. So Ballmer has basically legitimized Linux and OpenOffice as viable rivals, or at least alternatives, let's call them, to Windows. If he kept his mouth shut,
Nothing might have happened,
but he said it, and now people are saying, oh, well, if Steve Ballmer thinks it's good, we ought to look at it. We ought to give it a try.
There's also reports that a lot of governments, both state and local, are looking for Microsoft alternatives because of the budget crisis they're all facing.
The city of Munich had like 44,000-45,000 desktops and laptops that they've, even though Ballmer took time off from his vacation to go to Munich and talk to the mayor. Munich is still dumping all of Microsoft and going with Linux. We'll be back. Poor Rob. He has a little trouble with his left arm. Couldn't make that break signal, so he's playing the music now instead. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Munich Francesco. I missed saying that. On the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education, Government, and Legal Partner. Call them right now, toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
You've got that home improvement look in your eye. What are you planning?
Something that will make our skin softer, cleaning easier, laundry brighter, and our drinking water taste better than ever.
In one weekend?
In one phone call. Hey, Culligan Man.
For a limited time, your Culligan Man is offering both a water softener and drinking water for just $9.95 a month for the first 3 months. So trust the water experts. Visit Culligan.com or call your local Culligan Man today and say,
hey, Culligan Man!
Dealer participation may vary. Visit Culligan.com for details. Expires August 31st.
Catch a wave over to PetSmart and visit the Bowabunga Cabana to find an all-new collection of the coolest summer dog toys this side of the islands. Designed for the water, backyard, or dog park, you'll find a huge selection of toys that your dog will want to fetch, tug, snuggle, and love. Look for fun fabrics and silly sounds that'll have everyone ready to play. You'll find this exclusive collection of Hawaiian-style dog toys only at PetSmart while supplies last. So stock up on summer fun today.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
I'd like to apologize if my voice is a little hoarse tonight. I sound like Selma Diamond now all of a sudden. last night was the opening night of the festival at St. Ambrose, which is my parish, and I was in the variety booth exhorting the guests and customers to spend their money, and I got a little over-exuberant, I have to say. And Dave Enright is not with us this evening. He's off on a quest at the moment. He heard about a copy of Windows ME that was actually functioning normally and correctly without problems. He's off hunting that down. We wish him good luck and hope to have a report next week. Maybe he'll come back with the box, you know, mounted on a plaque or something. But we're gonna get to your phone calls in just a minute. Before we do, of course, as you know, we have a new feature here on Soundbites, the weekly trivia.
Dun, dun, dun. Ah!
Thank you, Rob. And this week's trivia question is a two-parter. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. What? He's incorrect. You're having way too much fun. It only hurts when he laughs.
I think some of those drugs haven't worn off yet. And can we have some, please?
Yes. Don't bogart the drugs, buddy. That's a 60s term. You may not know what it means. I don't remember what it means. The trivia question is, what are mints and Scribble, and what did they become? What are mints and Scribble? And what did they become? No, you can't answer the trivia question.
No, I can't, but I need to know the answer if I'm going to be taking calls. You got to write it
down. No, they tell us on the air. They have to get on the air and ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot how things work. I haven't been here.
I know. You haven't been here for a while, and you've been, it's a haze. The last few weeks have been a haze. A haze of good and legal drugs. And so here you are. We hasten to say they were legal, ladies and gentlemen. So, since Dave is not here, those of you, I'm looking at the tracking page, and those of you who are on the show cam page, since there's no Dave, there's no show cam today, so you're just seeing us wave from last week. So you can get right off the show cam page. There's no point in that right at this week, but hopefully Dave, it's in the back of his truck. We're hoping if he actually finds that perfectly working copy of ME, he'll
put it on the camera.
Give us a picture of it. Yeah. We're going to go to the phones now and take some of your questions. We'll start with Victor from Irondequoit. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Sound problem. When the computer turns on and when I empty my junk mail folder, I get the sounds. But in the bottom right-hand corner next to where the Times displayed, there used to be a little sound thing there. That's not there. And I can't. MSN Messenger used to have a sound when it I get an email, and that doesn't work. And StopZilla would have a sound when I would click it to start, and it's not working. Any ideas?
Well, you probably want to start in your device manager to make sure that your sound card is still recognized and there aren't any error symbols on it.
How do I do that?
Go to, or what operating system are you running?
Internet Explorer. Windows 98.
If you right-click on my computer
Hold on one second.
And choose Properties, You'll see a series of tabs at the top, and one of them will be Device Manager.
Got it.
And that shows you a list of all the devices Windows thinks you have, which isn't necessarily what you do have. there should be a line for sound, what is it, sound, MIDI, music, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something along that line.
Sound, video, and game controller.
Right. If there are any yellow exclamation points or red stop symbols, that means that something's not working right. And you'll probably need to simple fix is to uninstall the device. There's a little remove button at the bottom. And then when you restart, Windows is supposed to re-recognize it and try to get reload the driver. It could also be something as simple as your speaker cable being unplugged. Actually, that might even be an easier
thing
to start with.
No, he hears sounds in a couple of things. It's just that the others don't have any sound.
Yeah, I get sound when the computer turns on.
Yeah.
The Windows 40 startup logo thing.
The other thing, what operating system are you running?
98 SE.
Okay. Here's the other thing. Go into the control panel.
Yep.
Double-click on multimedia.
That's where that hides.
Okay. Yeah. There's a checkbox that says show the volume control on the taskbar or something like that. That's the thing you want to check that. Click OK.
It's grayed out.
Okay, then you definitely have a problem in that some programs, including, well, the taskbar, the control panel, think that you don't have a sound card. So Steve is now correct, or continues to be as correct as he's always been, which is to you have to remove the actual sound card, reinstall it, and reinstall the driver.
Oh boy.
What may have happened, do you install games on this machine?
No.
Okay, something you installed may have overwritten the sound card driver. Some programs will ignore the difference, the badness that gets reported by the sound card and work anyway.
Yeah. You can try removing the sound card from Device Manager and rebooting, and then it should reload the old drivers back. And if that doesn't work, you'll need to download the newest drivers from the manufacturer of your sound card.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I actually had a machine this week where the speakers were plugged into the microphone port.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I accidentally plugged the microphone into the aux port on one of my machines.
Yeah.
The feedback nearly blew me out of the room. Man, oh, man.
Too many plug holes on the back.
Too many holes, and they all look the same.
A few companies are starting to color them, but you have no idea what the colors mean.
Right, exactly. And they should all be different looking. They should be different plugs.
Mic in, line out, aux out. It's annoying.
It's annoying. And our next, speaking of annoying, our next, no. Sorry,
better
Bruce.
Better be the right Bruce.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a different Bruce, I'm in some trouble. I hope this is the Bruce from Henrietta.
Yes, it is, guys.
Oh, thank you.
How are you, Bruce?
I'm okay.
You want to take a shot at the trivia?
Let me see. Minson Scribble, my first thought was maybe the Newton operating system.
Oh, very good. Wrong, but very good. Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. At work this week, I happened to get a machine that has XP Pro and Office Pro. And on the Microsoft Office shortcut toolbar, in all the previous versions of Office that I've used, in the customize window, you get a choice of exposing or showing the Outlook documents. New message, new contact, new appointment, new task.
I usually turn all those off because I find them annoying.
Right. I like them as a quick way of launching them without even having to really launch Outlook if I'm not running Outlook. So I want them, but it doesn't show them there. And in all the documentation that I could find in the library, they'll show it already existing in Office, previous versions of Office. I haven't found a book on this particular version of Office or in Outlook, but it already exists, and any documentation I found online talks about you just toggle the button in the customize window and not how you can, you know, if it isn't there, how do you put those four items in it so that you can expose them or show them there?
Yeah, applications are fairly easy to put in, but that's a
task. And you can put files and folders in also.
Yeah.
And what version is this?
Office XP, or also it's called 2002, and depending what window I look at it.
Have you been to Microsoft's website?
Yeah, it was pretty much a waste of time. I know it might be there if we could ask the question correctly, as it thinks the question should be asked.
Yeah, that's definitely the problem, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I put in Outlook, I put in Office, I put in the, you know, what version of them. I mentioned new message, new task, new, you know, all the things to try and
task
pare it down. And,
and you've been in Tools Customize Options.
Yes.
And the option he wants isn't there.
Right, and the only thing you can add are files and folders.
Maybe you can't do it anymore.
No, I think you can, but there was one version of Office that you had to go download some cute update things from
Apache thing.
Microsoft's, yeah.
Or is this something you have to do now from a resource kit?
Oh, the resource kit. That may be where it was. I had a little trouble cudgeling my brain into working again this morning. But you're right. It may well have been in the resource kit for this one. Office 2002. I could have sworn it was on there for me. Have you tried reinstalling?
No, I don't have control of my machine. The IT department has it locked down.
Well, that may be why you can't add this.
You might can't see where it is to
right,
add it.
Right, right.
Well, I can add files and folders. That still functions.
Yeah, but that's not a core function.
Mm-hmm. Now, I also thought perhaps this is an install feature. You choose to install it, and that's your one shot at putting it there or not. But I looked at some install scripts that were on the Microsoft site, and I didn't see it as being mentioned. They made the install look like it's almost, yes, I want Office customized or not, and you'll go away.
Yeah, that's a standard install. You'd have to custom turn it off.
You may need to talk to your IT folks. They may have turned it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect they probably did because everybody else is annoyed by it.
I see.
Sorry.
Okay. All righty. Good luck, guys. And I, as far as Dave ever coming back, I don't think he's going to find what he's looking for.
We'll find out. Stay tuned. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Right now at John Deere, we're offering zero money down, 0% interest, and zero payments until April 2004 when you buy almost any lawn or garden tractor. Until then, you can think of it as almost free, which means you're free. Free to ride around your yard in all your fully welded John Deere glory. Free to fight back the tears as you glance over your shoulder at the precise rows courtesy of the Edge cutting system. Free to transform your yard into a retrospective in rock gardening or a simple salute to shrubbery. So buy your John Deere now with zero down, 0% interest, and zero payments, and bask in the glow of grass-covered freedom, knowing that nothing runs like a deer.
Subject to credit approval on a revolving plan at participating dealers. After promotional period, finance charge accrues at 12.9% APR with a 50 cent per month minimum. Offer ends July 7, 2003. Other restrictions apply. Excludes all 100 series tractors.
Here's an important automotive message from Bob Johnson Chevrolet. Today through Saturday, receive multiple savings on every car, truck, minivan, and SUV. Yes, everything new and pre-owned, a total of 800 vehicles. Announcing the 72-hour sell-down, now at Bob Johnson Chevrolet. Today through Saturday, your purchase may include extraordinary GM rebates, conquest rebates, lease pull-ahead savings, and a special discount provided exclusively by Bob Johnson Chevrolet. It's the 72-hour sell-down. With financing as low as 0% and rebates as high as $4,000, you'll find hundreds of remarkable values. Visit Bob Johnson Chevrolet, but hurry, this sale ends Saturday at 5 p.m. Announcing the 72-hour sell-down at Bob Johnson Chevrolet, 1271 Ridge Road West.
At John Deere, we know what takes your breath away. No, it's not a two-hour tug-of-war with a tree stump. It's the umpteenth trip you and your wheelbarrow make to and from the mulch pile. Well, say sayonara to wasted weekends. Behold the John Deere Gator utility vehicle. With its heavy-duty cargo box made of 16-gauge steel, you can now load and haul more topsoil, more boulders, more paving bricks, even more pachysandras, all at an 18-mile-per-hour clip. Try that with Mr. Wheelbarrow. And for a limited time, you can get behind the wheel of a John Deere Gator and save up to $2,000. We'll even throw in special financing offers. Saving time, saving money, saving your hamstrings. There's nothing like it, and nothing runs like a Deere. Call 1-888-MO-PROS to find your nearest dealer.
Offer ends July 7, 2003. Financing offers subject to qualified credit on a revolving plan. For personal use only, see dealer for details.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
You know, I have to be honest with you, it's absolutely true. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
No, he's Rob Linton.
You have to excuse me, I can't do that this week.
I know, I realize that, but I've missed saying it. I love Jesse, he's a good guy, but you can't just say, Jesse, it doesn't work. It's not quite the same. So, we're glad, although Jesse was magnificent, God bless you, Jesse, you kept us on the straight and narrow. It's a vocal thing for me, I have to admit that. Don't forget, today's trivia is a two-parter. The first part, what are mints and Scribble? That should actually be fairly easy for those of you with any Googling skills whatsoever. The second part, I hope, will be a little harder. What did they become? We're going to go back to the phones now. John from Rochester is on the line. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a Packard Bell boat anchor. It's a 1.2 gig.
Yeah.
And somebody went in there and helped me clean out all the garbage that was in there.
Uh-oh.
And now my CD-ROM does not anymore.
Does not what?
The
Are you
CD-ROM?
On a speakerphone?
Pardon?
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
I can hardly hear you. Can you?
My CD-ROM does not work anymore.
Okay.
Sounds like they took out too much.
Okay, who do I take that to, since I'm computer illiterate, to get it checked out, or is it even worth it?
Well, does the icon, when you open my computer, does the CD icon show?
Yes.
So
I mean, when it boots up and everything, it says it's there, and then when you try to put a disc in, it says it's not there.
That's weird, because the drivers are part of Windows.
I think you should probably bring it in.
Yeah, it sounds like something you might want to bring in to someone, both myself at Jesse Group, 624-1920, and our missing Dave Enright at Enright PC Management, 442-4843.
And, of course, our premier sponsor, Green Shield Computer Services, at greenshield.net.
You can take it in. They can take a look at it, see if it's if it's going to be worth fixing, which is one of the biggest issues in a machine that old.
Yeah, it's not only a boat anchor, now it's a broken boat anchor.
right.
Yeah.
But it may be a simple fix, you know, a few bucks for the part and a few bucks for the labor, and you could be on your way. So it can't hurt to get it checked out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Apparently John didn't want to take a shot at the trivia. Our next caller is Reed from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Reed. What's your question?
Hey, thanks, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, I was running Windows 98 Second Edition and did a scan disk, did a defrag, and ended up with a weird boot problem. Would not boot up, would quit, say it had an corrupted file or an error in Explorer, wouldn't let me boot in safe mode, wouldn't let me boot off the floppy, wouldn't let me boot off the CD. So I finally took 2000 from my other computer, Pro, installed it on the PC, which is fine, and it's running great. My question is, can I get rid of all those 98 files? Can I just delete them, or is that going to cause a problem with 2000 Pro?
No, you can. Well, first, two things. Of course, you didn't actually. I know you were just shortcutting us, but I don't want to get you in any legal trouble.
Okay.
You didn't really take your old 2000 Pro and put it on two different machines. You bought a second copy for your other machine.
Indeed, I did. I bought a second copy and put it on there. There's no question.
I don't want to get you in any legal trouble.
No, no, I appreciate that. No, sir, I did follow the rules.
Good, because otherwise we couldn't help you. But since you followed the rules, anything that's in the folder marked Windows 98.
Yes.
Can probably be deleted safely.
Okay.
The reason I say probably is because first you should check under My Computer.
Yep.
There's a virtual memory button.
Yep.
Under Properties.
Okay.
Check to see that the swap file has not been left in the Windows 98 subdirectory.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
If, in fact, it has not,
right,
then you can safely delete all the 98, anything in the Windows 98 subdirectory. But let me suggest that instead, you simply compress it and rename it.
Oh, okay.
That way, if there's a problem, you can put it back, but it's not going to take up as much room on your system.
Wait
a month or whatever makes you happy, a day, a week, an hour, and then delete it.
Okay. All right, we'll go that route. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Wouldn't have the slightest idea, and I'm not near my PC.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Thank you anyway. Our next caller is Paul from Rochester, New York. Welcome,
Hello.
Paul. What's your question?
Hello. My question is I bought a Dell for $300.
Yeah.
And
used, I'm assuming this is used?
What?
Used?
No, it was new.
New?
Well, it's supposedly new.
Okay.
And I keep getting the... I bought a sound blaster because I never heard any sound out of it.
Uh-huh.
So I put the sound blaster in there and tried to load it up, you know. I never got any results. But I always get this... you can write a register the sound blaster. And I never wanted to register it because I didn't want to get my name and distribute it to all the distributors, you know?
Right, right, right.
So I wanted to know how I could get rid of that thing that's on, that says every time, comes up every time.
Yeah.
In the sound blaster.
You've got a couple of different problems here, Paul.
Yeah.
First, the fact that you're getting no sound.
Yeah.
Could be any one of 100 things. I don't know which model Dell this. Where did you get it from, a vendor?
No, I got it from Heartland.
I don't
remember. They were selling them cheaper, and they gave it a rebate on it.
You might want to take a look and see if you've got speakers with this thing.
Yeah.
And they're plugged in.
Special plug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's plugged into the right spot.
Yes.
And the speakers are on.
Yeah.
And they're powered up.
Yeah, they show lights on the front.
Okay. When you go into the control panel and look at your hardware devices, excuse me, what version of Windows are you running?
95.
Okay.
It couldn't have been a new computer.
It couldn't have been. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is...
10 years old.
Easy. But the point here is, if you right-click on My Computer, you'll see a drop-down menu. One of the selections is Properties.
Yeah.
That will take you to a whole bunch of tabs, one of which is Hardware.
Uh-huh.
Go there and take a look at the Device Manager. Oh, in 95, the Device Manager is its own button.
Uh-huh.
It's a long time ago.
That could also be why the Sound Blaster's not working. It may not have had 95 drivers.
Right. Well, let's go back a step. First, take a look in that Device Manager and see if any of the devices have a red circle next to them.
Okay.
And if there are, there may be two of them.
Uh-huh.
And they may both be sound cards. One is the Sound Blaster, and the other one is the one that was built into the system.
Uh-huh.
If the one that was built into the system is on but not working correctly, and you put the Sound Blaster in, they will work against each other.
Uh-huh.
So that needs to be fixed. Now, unfortunately, without seeing what's wrong, it's very hard for me to tell you exactly how to fix it. This may be another one of those cases where you're going to have to bring it to some dealer somewhere. Again, Jesse Group or Enright PC Management or Green Shield Computer Services to have them take a look at it. They can probably fix it pretty quick once they see it, but without seeing it, it would be hard to tell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We have to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray. You're right. You can't. It breaks the rhythm. With Steve Ray and Rob Linton on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Where'd you get that new TV, Mike?
Oh, you mean my brand new 32-inch Sony flat-screen TV? I got it for free at Clearwater Pools.
Clearwater Pools?
Yep, my wife's been wanting a hot tub for years now, and we heard that Clearwater Pools was having their annual spring anniversary sale, so we checked it out. She fell in love with a Beachcomber hot tub.
Wow, Beachcomber, top of the line. Must have cost you a few bucks, huh?
Not really. We got a beautiful six-person hot tub for less than $4,000.
You're kidding. That's an awesome price.
You're telling me. I was expecting to pay thousands more than that. And while I was there, they were having a sale on all of their pool supplies, too, so I bought a new solar cover, some chlorine tablets, and I grabbed an automatic vacuum, too. No more pool vacuuming for me.
Sounds like you saved a lot of cash, Mike. But how is that TV free?
Oh, yeah, that's the best part. If you buy a Beachcomber hot tub package this week, they give you a 32-inch Sony flat-screen TV.
Stop by Clearwater Pools today during their annual spring anniversary sale. Save on saunas, swimming pools, and tanning beds only at Clearwater Pools. 3760 West Henrietta Road near Marketplace Mall.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
I tell my parents, like, just go to, like, bowling with them as, like, friends and stuff.
No, that's dating. Do you know your chances of getting date rape, pregnant, sexually transmitted disease, or a lot of painful bad memories are now zero because your parents have some backbone?
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
The Rush Limbaugh Program.
The views expressed by the host on this program could cause you severe discomfort
unless
you have courage.
Courage to accept
the truth, because that's what this program is all about.
It is a daily pursuit of the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
And we find it.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 2 till 5 on Wham!
News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
CBS News, I'm Steve Knight. A police state
on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back with Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll, thanks to one of our most prolific artists and posters, Moody Blues 100. His question was, what do you think of the new audio clips page on the Sound Bites website? Now, this is partially self-serving, since he's the one who started this whole audio clips business, and he's the only person other than us who's got his very own page on the Sound Bites website. And we had 189 people vote. I'd like to thank each and every one of you individually, but that's impossible, so I'll just say thanks. 189 of you voted. 24% of you think they're funny. Keep it up, I want more. Followed by some of the above, followed by none of the above, followed by all of the above, followed by the stupidest thing I ever heard, followed by other, please leave an opinion, followed by they really said that, they're funny, they should host a talk show. And nobody voted for the guys who would never say anything like that. So I'm not entirely certain what it is that we're looking at here, since these people seem to think we will say anything. And actually, in the forums, they have a list of the things they'd like us to say, and doggone it if I didn't print that out this week. This new poll is a little different. Somebody gave me this poll, and I can't remember who it is. I'll have to look it up when I get home and add that to the thank you list. But the question is, how many viruses do you see each month? The choices are 0 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, 16 to 20, and over 20. Now, you notice I said see, not get. I'm not saying the number you get, but the number that come into your email or whatever and are banged on and killed by your antivirus software, hopefully. I really thought that limiting it to, you know, less than 20 and then just 20 or above would weigh a lot of it in the realm of more than 20, because I figured everybody gets way more than 20. Everybody says they get 0 to 5. They see 0 to 5 viruses every month come into their system. That's a little weird, but so far with 70 votes, 61 of you think you only get 74 votes. 65 of you think you only see 0 to 5. Remember, it's not how many you get. It's how many you see. Once you have, in fact, put your mark on the poll itself, then please hop over to my website, asknick.com. That's my website, asknick.com, and leave a question about which email and antivirus, tell us which email and antivirus programs you use. While you're there, please feel free to wander around my website, asknick.com, and see what's available there for free. There's a bunch of stuff you can't get to unless you become a member, but it even tells you what that is. So it's a full-service website. So please do that. And then come back to Soundbites. Check out our forums. We have some of the brightest, funniest, most interesting people on earth in our forums. We have a weekly tip from the missing Dave Enright. Moody Blues 100 brings us some secretly recorded calls. Those are the audio clips. We have movie posters, and we have a semi-ever-changing logo. We have the Soundbites calendar for user group meetings in your area. If you are running a user group and you are not on the Soundbites calendar, you can get to it. Go to the calendar. It'll tell you how to send us a message to get your group on the calendar. Actually, you get to do that yourself, so you can change it every month and add new information about what's going on. That's at our website, soundbites.org, a wonderful place to be when you haven't got anywhere else to go. Our next caller is John from Webster. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
This should be simple, I hope. About 2 months ago, I went to the Microsoft website and downloaded a few updates for my 98 SE system. They were primarily just security updates.
Yeah.
Ever since, on boot up, my dial-up networking window comes up. Comes up actually three times and comes up once on shutdown. And I haven't figured out how to shut that off. Any ideas?
Something, most likely a virus or a Trojan, is trying to access the internet.
That's what I was afraid of.
When you're turning the machine on, and then again when you're trying to turn the machine off.
What antivirus software are you running?
Norton.
When is the last time you updated it?
A couple days ago.
Okay.
Might be a good idea to run Stinger. Anyway, Stinger and AdAware are two free utilities to scan for the most notorious viruses, and AdAware does spy programs.
Familiar with it.
Do you use...
The thing is, it started immediately after I downloaded those updates.
Do you use MSN Instant Messenger?
No.
Check to see whether or not it's automatically loading in your system tray.
Because even if you don't use it, Microsoft thinks you should. And
they load it.
Yeah. And it could also be the Windows Update feature or the Norton Update feature.
Right.
A lot of programs are assuming you're always on the internet and will automatically look for updates.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft has their own Windows updating, Norton and McAfee antivirus updating, so it may be one of them trying to open an internet connection as well.
Yeah, I looked through all the browser settings, dial-up networking settings, startup menu. I couldn't
you have to go in. You'll have to go into your Norton settings and see if Live Update is set to open automatically.
And check your, like I said, your toolbar next to the clock in the lower right-hand corner to see if, in fact, although it may not be active, if there is an icon there for MSN Instant Messenger.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
Okay.
I checked that.
Then definitely check the other things because they may be attempting to, particularly if you've missed an update period, it may well be that the system is trying to do that. It may also be that something you downloaded wants to register itself to Microsoft. And is trying to do that.
The second part of the previous caller's question, too. If you look in your startup group, that's the easiest place to look for these auto-registration programs that try to register or remind you to register, and you can turn them off from there. If it's not in the startup group, then it's buried in the registry and harder to find.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where I might find those downloads on the system upgrades be located in any one place, or would they have been dispersed throughout the system?
No, they get downloaded and installed, and then the original downloads get wiped out.
So I can't undo those anyway.
Not that way, no.
Okay, I'll check it out and see if I'll run Stinger and see.
Start with Stinger.
Okay.
That's probably your best bet.
I had something similar to this week, and it turned out to be Symantec's Live Update Control Panel was set to dial itself instead of using your internet connection. The customer switched from dial-up to DSL,
right.
And it was still trying to dial.
Yeah, so now I haven't changed any of the Norton settings unless one of those system upgrades automatically did it somehow or changed something else.
Right. But see, it's a little weird because you would think that when you did connect, which I'm sure you've done somewhere between that installation, you would think that when you did connect, it would do whatever its business was and then not have to do it again. But since this happens every time you log in, I have to think it's a virus.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, start with Stinger, and if it finds something, then you have to uninstall and reinstall Norton and then update it.
Right.
And that's Rob subtly telling us it's time for another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
How do you travel the road? In a clumsy motorhome the size of a barge? Hey, they're great for the trip, but terrible on gas and for getting around once you reach your destination. Maybe the family car or minivan. Then you're cramped for space and you've got all those bathroom stops. No, the best way to hit the road is in a Class B motorhome, combining the versatility and freedom of driving a van with all the comforts of home. Perfect for visiting the kids, cruising down south, or a quick weekend getaway. And you save money on hotels, restaurants, and gas. If that sounds good to you, then you should head out to the anniversary open house at Finger Lakes RV June 5th through the 8th and view their luxurious Class B motorhomes, master suites, kitchenettes, private baths, and more at a size you can manage on any street and at prices that don't require a second mortgage. Come out to Finger Lakes RV and tour their exclusive models and sample the many designs and floor plans. The anniversary open house at Finger Lakes RV, corner of Routes 5 and 20 and 247 in Canandaigua, now through Sunday, June 8th. For details and directions, call 585-924-0570.
You are in or approaching a leadership position with your company. You're committed to advancing your career, and you're considering a graduate degree to provide the competitive edge you need in today's workplace. But traditional programs don't seem to address the new challenges and competitive realities you're confronting on a daily basis. RIT offers two unique programs that could be the answer. RIT's Master of Science in Product Development and RIT's Master of Science in Manufacturing Leadership. Both programs blend business and technical components to produce graduates with the integrated skills that are so vital to success in today's complex enterprises. You can complete either of these fully accredited programs in 2 years part-time. To learn more about RIT's distinctive programs in product development and manufacturing leadership, offered through the Kate Gleason College of Engineering at RIT, visit us online at rit.edu or call 475-7971. That's 475-7971.
Right now at John Deere, we're offering zero money down, 0% interest, and zero payments until April 2004 when you buy almost any lawn or garden tractor. Until then, you can think of it as almost free, which means you're free. Free to ride around your yard in all your fully welded John Deere glory. Free to fight back the tears as you glance over your shoulder at the precise rows courtesy of the edge cutting system. Free to transform your yard into a retrospective in rock gardening or a simple salute to shrubbery. So buy your John Deere now with zero down, 0% interest, and zero payments, and bask in the glow of grass-covered freedom, knowing that nothing runs like a deer.
Subject to credit approval on a revolving plan at participating dealers. After promotional period, finance charge accrues at 12.9% APR with a 50 cent per month minimum. Offer ends July 7, 2003. Other restrictions apply. Excludes all 100 series tractors.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You know, we were in a chat room last night, and this is interestingly different. I don't think we need to do both. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Actually, we do need to do both. This is Soundbites. And we're still waiting for someone to answer the trivia. Remember, we didn't tell people what they're going to win this week. The fabulous prize for this week's winner of the trivia is two free tickets to any movie at a Regal Cinema Theater. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood at your feet, at your beck and call. Whatever you need, whatever you want, any movie you want to see that's playing at a Regal Cinema, you can go see using these tickets. I don't know how you wouldn't want that as a prize. Can
Amazing.
You think of a single reason? I didn't think
not.
So. So we're going to go back to the phone, hoping somebody can answer the trivia question. What are Mints and Scribble, and what did they become? Remember, it's a two-parter, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of movies, we went to see Steve Jobs' new movie last week, Finding Nemo from Pixar.
No. Yeah, we saw that. Saw that, too.
I haven't been in a full theater in probably 10 years. Because they typically have so many screens showing the same movie, it's never barely full. But every screaming kid was there, including mine.
Oh, man.
So I have to go again in a few weeks and just watch the movie myself.
So I can hear the dialogue that was written for the adults, which, you know, you completely can't hear.
But it was a really cute movie.
It is a cute movie, and it's very well done. And, of course, you can't help but love any movie where the systems administrators get screen credit.
Yep.
We waited through the end because there's all kinds of cool stuff that always happens during the credits in a Pixar movie. And when the systems administrators came on, I applauded. Yep. I was the only one.
There's a lot of cameos by other Pixar characters.
Right.
From other movies.
Lightyear is in the dentist's office, and then you need to watch the end of the film. Yep. Definitely watch the credits. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
I've got a Pentium 3, 600 plus megahertz, running Windows 98 SE, and I upgraded the RAM to a 256 meg chip, and it only sees half of it. I've got two slots on the motherboard, so I have one SIM in one of the slots, and it only sees half the memory.
Two things it could be. Sometimes the slots have to be filled in a certain order.
Okay, I thought I might switch them.
Switch them around, especially on older computers. And the other issue is that memory companies will build memory cards using a larger number of low-density chips because it's cheaper than the high-density chips. So if your 256 card has like 16 chips on it versus another 256 card that has 32 chips on it, it may not recognize the chips that are too high a density.
Okay. Oh, because my card only has chips on one side, so sometimes they're double-sided.
Right, it depends on how dense the chips are. If there's only chips on one side, they may be too dense for your machine to see, and you need to find a low-density version.
Oh, interesting.
Low-density having more chips on it, which is a little converse.
Right.
Understand that.
Do you know who made your motherboard?
It's a BioStar. The BioStar M6TWL.
And is this one of those boards that requires you to actually set jumpers to tell it how much memory it has?
No. It's actually a pretty, I was surprised at how modern for the age of the machine the motherboard was. And I got the manual for it. It's a Quantex. It went out of business a few years ago, but it's been a pretty good
one. Well, you really seem to have two choices here, which is either you need to put it in the other slot or it's bad memory.
Yeah, I'm going to try the slot first. That's the easiest thing.
A lot of times you'll see the memory specifications in sort of an overview. It says PC100. But then if you look deeper, it'll say, you know, JEDEC version 6.2, and it needs 64 megabit technology or less, and there's a lot of sub-standards in the standard.
Right. Yeah, but try that other slot first, and then what you might try is either taking it to a dealer and see if they can test it, or at least try it in somebody else's computer.
Sure.
And if they can read it, then it's your machine. If they can't, it's probably the chip.
Okay. One other quickie.
Yeah.
I've debated about putting a video card in it because the video gets slow sometimes and the video is on the motherboard. But somebody told me there's a little brown socket that takes a certain type of video board or a PCI slot. And my board has a little brown socket on it, and the motherboard manual calls it...
AGP.
Okay, it calls it a AMR slot. Not the same thing?
No, not that we know of.
Okay.
PCI sockets are usually white. ISA sockets were usually black. And the AGP, which is Advanced Graphics Processor or Advanced Graphics Port, is usually brown. And that is a faster connection, so you can get faster video cards. But it doesn't...
Oh, AMR, the audio modem riser.
Oh, okay. Not a video slot.
Not at all. That's why I was so confused. I'm trying to fit AMR into some sort of video acronym, and in fact, it's the audio modem riser.
Yeah, I went through the manual for the motherboard on the internet. I couldn't find anything about an AMR.
Yeah, it's basically it requires the AMR V90 PCTEL modem, basically. This is a British board, isn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's a big standard over in England, not so big here.
Well, I'm not using anything that would use that anyhow.
Right.
One last, I called a while ago and I had a problem with my computer. It would all of a sudden freeze and then reset when I was on the internet. And I tried everything and I finally spent $5 on a new Ethernet card and it was gone.
Ah, see, sometimes that's what happens. You found an Ethernet card for $5?
Yeah, you can get them out there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, good for you. I'm glad that solved the problem.
Thanks for your help.
Sure, you want to take a shot at the trivia?
I don't even know what the question is.
The question is, what are mints and scribble, and what did they become?
Sounds like what my wife eats a lot of and my kids do.
Yeah. No, and that is only half the answer. I don't want to know what they become.
All right, well,
thanks anyway, Tom. Our next caller is another Tom, this one from Caledonia, New York.
Hello.
Hi there.
I really like your show. But
thank you.
I have like to take a shot at the trivia.
Excellent.
Is Mints and Scribble a text editor and text formatter?
That's half of it.
And did they become a MIDI musical software?
The company, that's excellent. The products, Mints was a text editor. Mints stood for Mints is not Emacs.
And Emacs was a big text editor in the Unix days.
Right, except, of course, Mints doesn't actually spell, Mints is not Emacs, doesn't spell Mints, it spells mine. But that's another story entirely. Scribble was the formatter, so you edited with Mints, and you formatted with Scribble. The company that put them out, called Mark of the Unicorn, those of you who are deeply immersed in the Lord of the Rings right now know that reference. Mark of the Unicorn company went out of the Mints and Scribble business, actually went out of the software business, and became a MIDI sequencing company. They're still out there at Mark of the Unicorn, MOTU.com. Yeah, exactly. And you can buy MIDI equipment from them. That wasn't what I was looking for, but I'm going to take it, Tom, because it's good. Do you happen to know what Mints and Scribble turned into, though?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you. They turned into a product called Perfect Writer. The perfect writer word processor for CPM, a pretty good product, originally from Creative Writing Software, and they changed the name to Perfect Software, and now Perfect Software sells human resources stuff. The really cool thing about Mints and Scribble was that you got some of the source code so that you could edit it yourself in order to compile in different printers and things. Tom, stay on the line because we're going to get your information so that we can send you the fabulous prize for getting today's trivia. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Meenik Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education government and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Junior Achievement of Rochester and Clear Channel Communications would like to offer a special thank you to Tom Rogers of Hazelden Auto Mall and their salespeople for their support of Junior Achievement. Through Hazelden Auto Mall, you can donate your used car, truck, or van to help teach children about the free enterprise system. Your tax-deductible contribution allows Junior Achievement to provide area students with the knowledge and skills necessary to make their dreams a reality. Since 1968, Junior Achievement's purpose has been to educate and inspire young people to value free enterprise, understand business economics, and improve the quality of their lives. Junior Achievement of Rochester's programs will reach approximately 30,000 students in grades K through 12 this year, with information about the workforce, the skills necessary to succeed, and the importance of staying in school. Thank you, Hazelden Auto Mall, for supporting Junior Achievement in its mission and for letting a child's success be your inspiration. For more information, please call the JA office at 327-7400.
If you believe that fast or new doesn't always mean better, if you believe in taking time with friends, then we have the perfect wine. Redwood Creek. A Chardonnay unhurried for a full, long, lingering taste. Because what our winemaking tradition has taught us is the importance of taking time. Redwood Creek. Good things take time. Redwood Creek Wines from Fry Brothers Vineyards, Modesto, California.
You'd think the real estate agent would have mentioned the new train line before we bought the house.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been nice. Oh, you want to hang on to the coffee pot?
Sure.
9:15 Midtown should be coming.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? At LendingTree.com, you choose from up to four agents certified by LendingTree and get up to a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, there he goes. You just missed him. I'll be Nick Francesco for the remainder of the show.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We wanna once again congratulate Tom for getting the trivia. Mints was a text editor. Scribble was the formatter that would actually format what you wrote and print it.
The cool thing was that both Mints and Scribble came in two versions. One was the regular binary code. You could just run it and be done. And the other was partial binary and partial source code. So you could extend the program or add pieces to it or do whatever you wanted. It was pretty much the first open source program. Other programs gave you hooks to add, WordStar, for example, gave you hooks to add printers, but this one you actually got some of the source code. So I have to say that it was the first commercially available open source, partially at least, open source program.
And how many years ago was that?
Back in the 80s, yep. 83, maybe, 82?
Almost before computers.
Almost, certainly, before many of our listeners were born, you little puppies. Our next caller is Keith from Irondequoit. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have an Aptiva, IBM Aptiva, mm-hmm. with Windows 98 in it. And I went from dial-up, a dial-up modem with WorldNet AT&T, to DSL. When I put the software in there, I get so far, and then all of a sudden I get a screen that says put in your Windows 98 second edition disk, but when I try to do that, why, the whole thing cuts out. And then I get when I start it up again, I get a series of messages that says cannot find the device needed to run Windows or Windows application. System INI file refer to the device, but device no longer exists. Try to install. And then we have unetsup.vxd that comes on at the end of one screen, and when I push the button again, I get uredir.vxd.
Right. What you've got here, Keith, is the fact that when people send you software or when they send you hardware, like with the DSL, they assume that you will be able to pull certain drivers off of the Windows CD. However, the folks at IBM, in their infinite wisdom, don't really give you a Windows 98 CD. What they give you is a startup disk or a restore disk. And what that does is if you have a problem with your system, you can pop this CD in and run it, and it will restore your machine to the way it was when you bought it, minus any other programs you've added in and minus any data you've added in. And then if it works at that point, then they don't care anymore because they've done their job. It works.
Okay. This machine originally had Windows 95.
Mm-hmm.
So you bought a full 98 disk to upgrade it with. So you have a 98 disk.
Yes.
Okay. What software were you installing to begin with?
I was installing the DSL software.
There is no DSL software.
Well,
What company do you get DSL
Frontier.
From?
Frontier.
And they sent you a disk.
Yeah.
It probably had Internet Explorer on it, which you already have.
Yes.
The only thing you might have needed would be an Ethernet card and a driver disk for the Ethernet.
But you're connecting through USB, aren't you?
Yes.
There's your problem.
There's part of the problem. One of the things that you need to do is to turn on USB in the Aptiva.
And if it originally came with 95, it probably doesn't work USB very well at all.
Right. The second part of the problem is that USB has multiple standards. They started with 1.0, then 1.1, now they're at 2.0. Most USB modems require at a minimum 1.1 and probably 2.0. And I'd almost guarantee that an Aptiva that came with Windows 95 has USB 1.0.
So you may be better off getting an Ethernet card into this. Well, now, Aptivas, did they have microchannel slots, or were they using PSI slots?
Is this is this Aptiva a laptop?
No. Desktop.
Okay. You need to get an Ethernet card for that machine, and then instead of using the USB connection in the DSL modem, you need to use the regular Ethernet connection.
Okay. With that that'll solve that. But how do I get out of this startup problem that I now have, where I go have to?
It sounds like you may need to reinstall Windows because it was looking. It may have been trying to load network drivers because actually that's what the disk would have been, the USB driver to
right.
control the USB modem.
Right.
So it was trying to load network drivers to tell your computer it's now in a network.
The easiest
and that
thing.
It couldn't because it didn't find the right files on the disk you gave it.
Right. What you might try doing is go into the add remove hardware.
Yeah.
In the control panel and remove the USB modem.
Oh, okay.
That should, note the emphasis on maybe it will, that should remove the drivers as well as the hardware device itself. So it'll ask you to remove it, and then it'll ask you to reboot. Make sure that you then unplug the USB modem so that it is, in fact, removed. Reboot, and the problem should go away.
Well,
and if it doesn't, you may need to reinstall Windows. And if you install it on top of itself, it should, again, should be okay and not lose any of your programs or data.
Well, when I put my Windows 98 disk back in, it does not run. You know, I come up with browse Windows and I can't remember all of the other three phases.
Well, the main program is called Setup that will restart the Windows installation.
Okay.
Do you have that 98 CD with you?
Yes, I do.
What does it say on the label?
Well, you have just a moment while I fish it here?
Well, yeah, very quickly, please, Keith. We got to move on.
Well, why don't you move on then, because it'll take me just a moment to find it.
All right. I tell you what. Try the things that we talked about. If that doesn't work, give us a call back.
Yep, we'll do that.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Our next caller is Bill from Brighton. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I'm running Windows 2000 Professional.
Uh-huh.
And when I open up Outlook, it gives me a message that says the program has exited. And I've used to get this before, and I'd normally just reboot the machine and it'd be fine. And now I can't do that. And I was wondering if there was a way to fix the problem without losing my email that I already have stored in there.
You can probably rerun the Office installation disk, and there's a repair option. There'd be a remove, reinstall, or repair, and the repair option might fix whatever has become corrupted inside Outlook.
Yeah, clearly something has become corrupted. It may be that what's corrupted is your mail files, but it's more likely something in the program. And if you run the install disk, as Steve said, don't click on install, don't click on remove, but you'll find a repair button. Click on or radio button choice. Click on that, and it should let you repair it, and that's step number one. If that doesn't work, then the corruption is in one of the actual mail files that are on your system, and to fix that, you really should take it to one of the local professionals and let them do it, I'm afraid. That's not something that I would suggest the average user play around with. Because you could quite easily lose all your mail forever.
And if I reinstall Outlook, it'll lose the mail that's in there. Is that correct?
Probably.
Okay.
So try that repair option first.
Okay, that's Okey-doke. Fine. I want to thank you very much.
Give it a shot, Bill. Let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you. I will.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Nina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Here's an important automotive message from Bob Johnson Chevrolet. Today through Saturday, receive multiple savings on every car, truck, minivan, and SUV. Yes, everything new and pre-owned, a total of 800 vehicles. Announcing the 72-hour sell-down, now at Bob Johnson Chevrolet. Today through Saturday, your purchase may include extraordinary GM rebates, conquest rebates, lease pull-ahead savings, and a special discount provided exclusively by Bob Johnson Chevrolet. It's the 72-hour sell-down. With financing as low as 0% and rebates as high as $4,000, you'll find hundreds of remarkable values. Visit Bob Johnson Chevrolet, but hurry, this sale ends Saturday at 5 p.m. Announcing the 72-hour sell-down at Bob Johnson Chevrolet, 1271 Ridge Road West. Get ready for Father's Day at Dick's Sporting Goods, where this week you'll get the guaranteed lowest prices on all the gifts Dad really wants. Get great buy one, get one free deals on golf balls, gloves, and shirts from TaylorMade, Nike, and more. Keep out of the sun and rain and save $40 off the original price of this season's hottest gift, the shelter to go. Now just $79.98. Dick's can help Dad and everyone else in the family get in shape with $200 to $300 off our best-selling treadmills and home gyms. Save $400 on a Goliath basketball hoop system. And Dick's has 25 to 50% off swimwear for the whole family. So get ready for Father's Day and save in our stores and online at dickssportinggoods.com. And remember, every season starts at Dick's.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
So, the Belmont Stakes race is on this weekend. The world will be watching. A New York horse on a New York track trying to win the Triple Crown. Too bad you don't bet.
Wanna bet?
Funny side, that famous New York horse is too much fun not to watch. Even I'm going to make a wager on this race.
Even you? Come on, OTB's easy for me with all the women OTB employees there to help me. But you? You're not the fastest horse on the track, if you know what I mean.
I think we better let the friendly OTB guy take it from here.
Bet you don't know all the fun ways we have for the wagering challenge to make a bet. The whole world will be watching Funnyside to see if he'll be the first Triple Crown winner in 25 years. And whether you bet him or not, watching the race with your bet on any horse will make this the most exciting Belmont Stakes in, well, 25 years. The Belmont Stakes, June 7th. It's just plain fun at an OTB branch near you. Enjoy free barbecue with appearances by local celebrities at the OTB branch on Broad at Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Western Regional OTB. We bet you're going to love it.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
$50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, right here. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. I figure if the openings are going to be the same every week, my response to them is going to be the same every week. We're going to start this segment of the show with some answers. Steve has yet another answer for our last caller, Bill.
The repair routine we told you about in the installation disk will repair Outlook's own program files. If it does happen to be your email files that are damaged, you can use the inbox repair tool, which should be under Start, Programs, Accessories, System Tools, and that will try to repair any damage in your mail files as well.
Excellent. And our next caller, Marcy from Rochester, New York, has an answer for one of our earlier callers. Marcy?
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I had exactly the same thing happen to me. And
what was the problem?
The guy would, he did 98SE, the update, and then thereafter it was you had at least three times the dial-up networking would come up and want you to dial in.
Oh, right. That's John from Webster. Yes.
Yes, and I went through everything that you told him. I could have answered the questions almost identically. I finally found an answer for me. If you go to Control Panel, Internet Options, and click on the Connections tab, it changed my Connections tab. I had to change it back to Never Dial a Connection.
One of the options there is to automatically dial whenever you open an Internet program.
Yeah,
but it opens by itself many times whenever it wants to.
Yeah, so I had turned off everything. I had unchecked things. I had that I didn't even know existed.
You know, I never thought about the fact that it would simply change an option you've already selected. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, it was a really weird one. Why would they bother to change my internet properties?
Because they know better than you do, Marcy.
Well, then I have a small question.
Yeah.
Very simple. I ended up downloading something because they would suggest that I have this Java thing, and now I have two Java plugins, 1.31 and 1.40. Can I take off the old one, or am I going to mess up my new one?
So I don't they're completely separate. You can remove the 1.3.
So if I just it's not going to have any shared files or anything?
No.
Good, because I couldn't imagine why I would need two.
You don't.
Well, sometimes you'll go to a site that isn't using the new code or is using the old code, and some sites work better with the old plugin, some sites work better with the new plugin, so it won't hurt to leave it on.
It's not going to hurt to leave it on, right?
No, not at all. It takes up a little bit of disk space.
Eh.
You don't care.
Insignificant.
You remember when 5 megs was a huge hard drive?
I remember getting an Apple profile.
Yeah, 5 meg hard drive.
5 meg hard drive. It held every business application available for the Apple III and had plenty of room for any data you'd want to put on.
Yep. And the original list price was $5,000.
$5,000.
So $1,000 a meg for early hard drives. Now we're running.
People snapped them up like they were cookies.
Now we're running about $1 a gig for hard drives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my old Osborne. I didn't even have a hard drive.
Yep.
Yes, and you were delighted at those 200K floppy disks.
Yeah, single side, single density, I believe they were.
Yes, they were. Very good, Marcy.
Okay.
Thank you, Marcy.
Well, thank you.
My favorite part of the show is when people call in and answer other people's questions, because that means we can nap while they do it. Thank you so much, Marcy. Love to hear that. Our next caller is George from Penfield. Welcome, George. What's your question?
The curse of the Internet.
Uh-oh.
Pop-ups.
Pop-ups.
Yeah, what's the best way to get rid of them?
Mozilla.
Stop using Internet Explorer.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's the truth.
That's
the reality is that...
you said the best way, right?
Yeah, you wanted the best way. Stop using... 99.9% of your pop-ups come through Internet Explorer, and Explorer won't let you turn them off.
Uh-huh.
I use Mozilla. I haven't seen a pop-up in 8 months. I haven't seen one.
Where can I get Mozilla, then?
Mozilla.org, M-O-Z-I-L-L-A.
And it has an option to...
Spell it again, M-I-Z.
M-O-Z.
M-O-Z.
I-L-L-A, Mozilla.org. When you set it up, you go to Edit, Preferences, and in Preferences, there is a Privacy and Security tab. Is it there? Or is it somewhere else? Wait a minute. Hold on.
It used to be hard to find. I think then there was a new version made it easier.
Yeah, see, I've still got the old version on here, unfortunately. That's my problem. But if you go through the various preferences, you will find... you will find somewhere in there, because I still got the old version on here on this machine, but you'll find a section that talks about pop-ups, and you can just tell it, I never want to see a pop-up unless I ask for it specifically. And what that means is, if you click on a link that would open up a new window, it still will, because you told it to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, somebody just wants to set a window, then forget it. It's gone. It doesn't show up. You can also disable cookies or enable them only for the originating server. If animated images make you crazy, you can say, I only want them to run once and never rerun.
I was just reminiscing about this the other day. You remember animated GIFs?
I do.
And what a revelation they were. Oh, my goodness, moving images on the website.
And how cool was that?
And how cool was that? And now, you know, we've gone so far past it.
That's exactly right. So, you can do that. Oh, yeah, on my version, it's under Advanced Scripts and Plugins.
And it says, allow scripts to open unrequested windows, move or resize existing windows, raise or lower windows. I unchecked all of those.
I believe the latest version just says block pop-ups.
Block pop, I believe so. I'll have to load the latest version so that I'm up on all of this stuff. And it's not that there's no reason I didn't do it. I just didn't do it on this particular machine. Mozilla gets rid of all of them.
I believe also Opera and OmniWeb have pop-up blockers built in.
Yes. Yes, they do. So Opera would be another one. Now, in all of these programs, what you have to know is a couple of things. Anybody who has created an Internet Explorer-specific website, that website won't look quite right on Mozilla. You really don't care about them anyway, because anybody who, you know, wants to be like a web Nazi and make you run a specific product, you don't care about that. But that's just something to be aware of. Every once in a while, you will go to a website that doesn't look quite right because the web Nazis are demanding that you run the program they want you to run. But I love Mozilla. One of the coolest things about it is it has something called tabbed browsing. That means I can open multiple tabs in a single window and switch among those tabs. And what that does is let me not have a whole bunch of windows open, just one window with a bunch of tabs in it, and I can go back and forth among the various tabs to see various things. And, in fact, you can set up a bunch of tabs that you like and that you want to keep open all the time, and then just click and then just save that whole set of tabs. You click on one link, and bang, all the tabs open up. Very cool.
Okay, good.
Give it a try. And it is free, so it's hard to beat. Even if you don't like it, you haven't wasted much money.
Okay.
Okie doke?
All right, fine. Thanks for your help.
Thanks, George. Okay. We appreciate it. Got time, I think, for one quick call. Gordon from Chilai. Welcome, Gordon. What's your question?
Hello. I've got a problem that nobody has been able to figure out.
Uh-oh. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, goodbye.
What is it?
I got Windows XP, and what happens is I change to a new window, say Word, and what happens in the white area of the blank document? I see the desktop for about 5-10 seconds.
Yep.
Video refresh.
It's probably your video driver.
I've got a 95 Radeon with 64 megs of RAM.
Yeah. Do you load games on this machine?
No.
What was the last program? Do you ever load any programs to play with the video card?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
No, Photoshop's the only...
Yeah, let me suggest that you look to see if there's a newer version of the driver. Particularly with the Radeon, the drivers that came in the box for XP were, let's just call them, not optimal.
Okay.
There are much better versions of the drivers up on Radeon's site. Download them and install them. And I suspect that unless your system is incredibly slow, the problem will go away. And we're done for another week. I want to thank Steve Ray and definitely Rob Linton, who has returned to us after being much missed for several weeks. We will be back here next Saturday. Hopefully, Dave Enright will have found the mythical working copy of ME. And Rob Linton will be back along with Steve Ray and me, Nick Francesco. We're going to have more trivia. We're going to have more polls. We're going to have more answers to your computer questions on the world's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, this is Josie Waverly at Brockport Ford with Mike Rebus. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Not a thing.
What's wrong?
Nothing, really. Everything's great because we have the largest selection of Ford-certified, ready-to-deliver cars in Monroe County, and we've priced them to move. With approved credit, you can have one for nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Not a thing down.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like the 2002 Taurus for only $11,995 or $223 a month, and that includes tax, title, fees, and everything.
Ford Taurus is a nice car.
It's a best pick from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Regardless of your past credit, give us a chance to help you save money and drive the car you want.
Well, you heard it here. Nothing, not a zip, zero down at Brockport Ford. So enjoy the drive to Brockport Ford or call 1-866-441-FORD. That's 1-866-441-3673. And remember,
Brockport Ford is the way. At John Deere, we know what takes your breath away. No, it's not a two-hour tug-of-war with a tree stump. It's the umpteenth trip you and your wheelbarrow make to and from the mulch pile. Well, say sayonara to wasted weekends. Behold the John Deere Gator utility vehicle. With its heavy-duty cargo box made of 16-gauge steel, you can now load and haul more topsoil, more boulders, more paving bricks, even more pachysandras, all at an 18-mile-per-hour clip. Try that with Mr. Wheelbarrow. And for a limited time, you can get behind the wheel of a John Deere Gator and save up to $2,000. We'll even throw in special financing offers. Saving time, saving money, saving your hamstrings. There's nothing like it, and nothing runs like a deer. Call 1-888-MO-PROS to find your nearest dealer.
Offer ends July 7, 2003. Financing offers subject to qualified credit on a revolving plan. For personal use only, see dealer for details.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquid Gels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquid Gels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquid Gels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquid Gels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquid Gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
I think it's inappropriate to criticize the president.
I think the president had every right to do what he did.
I don't trust my government anymore.
He's our commander-in-chief.
The president is a liar.
And I support his decisions.
I think that Bush has made a terrible mistake.
He's the commander-in-chief. If anybody is entitled to put on the garb of military uniform, it would be him.
The debate is the freedom.
News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Now, more than ever, you need the news leader. 50,000 watt 1180, WHAM, Rochester. A clear channel radio.
CBS News, I'm Steve Knight. What should have been the routine booking of a car theft suspect in tiny Fayette, Alabama, turned into a horrible scene of death. Sheriff Hubert Morris says that when it was over, three men were dead.